You are warmly welcome to the Postcast. It's the Racing Post's weekly preview show, looking ahead to a stellar weekend. We've got the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe on Sunday and some great stuff on Saturday. I'm Bruce Millington. With it being such a big week, we thought we'd pull out all the stops to get two fantastic judges for you. Sadly, we failed miserably, so instead we've got David Jennings and Graham Rodway. Like I say, eight races on ITV4 on Saturday. But the highlight of the weekend, and indeed the season for me, is the Arc at Longchamp on Sunday. We'll be getting the lads' best bets for that and also their thoughts on who will be the stars of a great undercard as well. Let's rattle through Saturday first, though. We've got three from Newmarket. We've got four from Ascot and we've got one from Redcar. And then we'll get all the other Saturday fancies. Plus, we've got Kyrgios in the Cadran at Longchamp. Of course, it's a two-day meeting over there in Paris. We'll get the Saturday naps and then we'll move on to the Arc. Right then, 1:30 Newmarket on Saturday. Best prices as per racingpost.com. 7-2 Al Houssen. Sorry, it's the 1 mile 2 furlong British EBF Premier Phillies Handicap, no less. 7-1 Crystal Estrella. 7-1 I'll Be There. 7-1 Persist. 12-1 Bar. Graham Rodway, are you excited for a great weekend?
I am very excited, Bruce. Yeah, it's always a great weekend, this one, isn't it? We get Group 1 action in Britain and, well, endless Group 1s, isn't it, in France. It's the best weekend.
Where does the Arc stand in your favourite flat races and indeed favourite horse races?
Yeah, I do really like it. You know, I've been a couple of times and had a great time on both occasions. So, yeah, I'd love to go back. It's a great place, isn't it? Right in the middle of Paris, of course. Easy to get to from the centre of town. And, yeah, I mean, the racing's absolute top notch. I actually quite enjoy the Saturday card a bit more than the Sunday one, you know, because it's less busy, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Have you been to New Longchamp?
I've not been to New Longchamp.
Yeah, it's not that packed. It's honestly
is it not?
No, it's not. It's nice. It's good. It's decent. Anyway, more mundane matters. The 1:31 at Newmarket, Giro. Kick us off with the winner, or are you going to opt out?
No, I quite like one in this. I thought Al Houssen was the one to beat, but she's quite short in the market, isn't she? And we don't know if she's going to handle soft ground. She'll probably say there's an awful lot of rain forecast, isn't there, all over the
very
country.
Very much so, yeah.
Overnight, particularly in France as well, but in Britain as well. So I'm expecting the ground to deteriorate quite badly. And I think that a big price here, I could see White Willow running quite well. Jamie Spencer's been booked up for Richard Fahey. This one stayed on really well last time out behind a progressive horse called Trigoni in one of those racing league races. They're always quite competitive, those, aren't they? Even though we haven't quite grasped the team element yet, they are quite good races, I think, strong. And his previous run at Epsom was an impressive victory. When again, he was very strong at the finish, stayed on strongly. I just think this course might suit him. I think he'll go on soft ground and I think there'll be a good pace for him to go at here, White Willow. And I could see Jamie Spencer giving him a Spencer special coming from off the pace.
20-1 start for G-Rod. David Jennings, how are you, my friend? Is the excitement gland pumping away?
Yeah, I'm laughing at you saying there's lots of rain forecast for tomorrow over there. Over here in Ireland today, it's like the end of the world.
Oh, really?
Pissing rain, it's really windy, it's cold, it's horrible, and the only thing that can get you through that is just thinking a jump racing, I think. But before that, the Arc.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're getting what you're getting because it's coming from the west. Okay, DJ, thank you for the warning. Who's going to win the 1:31 at Newmarket?
Oh, I'm not as venturous as Rodders in this. I think Al Houssen is going to win this. I thought she was quite impressive at Newmarket last time, I have to say. Travelled quite well and put the race to bed. And that was her first start since April. So she's obviously going to improve. You'd imagine, granted natural improvement from that break, wouldn't come on for that run. And I thought the interesting thing about the ground was that she is a half-sister to Moshawar, who was trained by Roger Varian. And Moshawar actually made his debut in a race that was won by Scope at Newbury, but it was on absolutely bottomless, heavy ground. And Moshawar seemed to absolutely love it and was only beaten 3/4 of a length by Scope, who's obviously a good yard six. So I think Al Houssen will handle the ground and I think she should win.
Thank you, DJ. We'll stick with you for the 206 at Newmarket on Saturday. It's the £150,000 Tattersall's October Auction Stakes. One of those two-year-old sales races over 6 furlongs, for which there are loads of runners. 29 go to post, huge prize, 81 grand to the winner. And we've got a 3-1 favourite in the shape of Amici. Then it's 6-1 Sky Sail, 6-1 Union Court, 10 Safari Dream, 16 bar. What do you reckon, DJ? Is this one that you're happy to let through to the wicket keeper, or have you tackled it?
No, I like one. It will be one of my stronger fancies of the day. I like Sky Sail for Marcus Tregoning and Dougie Costlow. Marcus had a winner at Salisbury on Thursday. I think Sky Sail could start favourite. I thought that the maiden he won at Newbury was a real kind of your typical Newbury maiden with plenty of the top stables represented. The William Haggis runner was sent off favourite. There was plenty of horses in around him that had a decent form. And I just liked the way he kind of stuck his neck out and really wanted it in the closing stages. I did think Amici was impressive last time, but I think Sky Sail has more scope for improvement, and I think they're going to get much closer together in the market. I'd advise listeners to take that 6-1.
Well, DJ, I'm not going to dispute your market prophecies anymore, because last week you said Waterville would be 2-1. Now, he wasn't 2-1, but he's ended up winning as if he should be 2-1. By the way, what an exciting race that was, wasn't it? I loved that. I really did enjoy that. That was fantastic, wasn't it?
I don't know which I enjoyed more. The fact that Waterville won the race under an unbelievable Wayne Lorden ride, or the fact that the racing blogger, Mr. Stephen Power, tweeted straight after the race, "What a ride by Ryan Moore."
let's not dig the guy out. We all do make mistakes. Yes, I did notice that, but he was very quick on the delete button for sure.
He was, yeah.
Now, G-Rod, although there's 29 runners here, if you look at the history of this race, it tends not to be won by a huge price runner. There are loads and loads at very big prices. Are you drawn to one of them, or are you going to stick to the top of the market?
Yeah, there's always a wide range of abilities on show in this, isn't there? And there's quite a gap between the best ones and the worst ones you often find. Obviously, they're all pot hunting for this 150,000 guaranteed. I think that Amici's probably the most likely winner. He obviously won a similar race, didn't he, at the July course last month when he beat Miss Jungle Cat. The problem is that he's quite a prominent racer, and there's 29 runs in this. I think they're going to go quite fast up front. I just wonder if, you know, he could end up in a bit of a pace battle with a bunch of them. So that's my slight concern about him. I think he's the most likely winner, but I won't be having a bet in the race.
OK, let's move on to the feature at Newmarket. 2:42 on Saturday, the Royal Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes, Group 1 for fillies and mares over a mile. Saffron Beach, last year's winner, 6-4 favourite. Homeless Songs, 11-4, 6-1 Laurel, 15-2 Prosperous Voyage, 20-1 Bar. Who do you fancy, Graham Rodway?
Well, Saffron Beach is obviously going to be very difficult to beat. She loves the track and loves soft ground, but she's a very short price. I can't have Homeless Songs at all. I thought she was disappointing at Leopardstown last time, albeit coming off a long break. I think that Laurel could run really well here. John and Fady Gosden, I've seen him do this before. Pitch not only horses into group ones, but pitch horses that you think, well, what's he running that there for? And I looked at Laura and I thought, well, what's he running that there for? You know, it's a group one race. It's won two novice races. You know, he could quite easily have run it in a group three or one of those weak fillies group races that are around and picked that up on the way. Instead, he comes straight into this group one off the back of two really impressive novice wins, posting some really good sectionals last time out at Kempton when she won Laurel. Adam, promising lead, was absolutely top class. I think it was for Sir Michael Stout. And I just wonder if maybe he's had this race in mind. That's the thing. He must be thinking, well, it's bound to be on the soft side come October. We'll run Laurel there. So it's just a weird one. You know, you look at it and it just don't look right. You're like, you know, this is John Gosden. He knows what he's got. He's got an Inspiral at home, of course, the best three-year-old miler around. Why run Laurel here? He must have a good chance.
Do you think she's hardy enough?
We'll find out.
Hey! straight over Broadway's head. Straight over his head. Can you believe it? Goodness me. Come on, G-Rod. You're a tough audience. Thank you, DJ, for getting that. Who do you fancy, David?
That is one of your best ones, I have to say.
It's not very high standard, but guys, not very strong field. But anyway, thank you, DJ. Who do you like, mate?
I'm in the Rodders camp with Laurel. I'll tell you why. A couple of things. When she won on debut, right, she was sent off a really strongly supported 6-5 favourite, and what looked a reasonable enough type of novice stakes at Newmarket. The way she travelled that day under Rab Havlin, I was like, whoa, Jesus, this could be nice. This could be nice, because the gap didn't open immediately, and when it did open, it was whoosh. Now, last time at Kempton, it was one of these races where it was basically a two-runner race. There was, I don't know how many runners there was in the race. There was maybe nine, but there's only two that mattered. There was a Roger Varian horse called Pure Dignity, who had won first time out at Newmarket and created quite an impression, registered an RPR of 91 that day. Pure Dignity, I thought, had the complete run of the race in this novice stakes at Kempton last time. Oh, she has to reach a really high level. Like, she's officially rated 98, and she has to get to in or around probably somewhere between 117 and 120 to win this race. So it's a massive step, but I think she might be able to make it, Bruce.
Blimey, two votes for Laurel. Interesting stuff. Thank you, gents. That was Newmarket. This is Ascot.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Postcast. We've done the Newmarket ITV4 races on Saturday. Now let's do four at Ascot, starting with 151. It's the Oakman Inns Rouse Stakes, a listed race over five furlongs. And there will be a lot of media attention on this because the King has King's Lynn in this at the Royal Racecourse, looking to get off the mark as an owner. Manakan is 9-2 favourite. King's Lynn is 11-2. Then it's 7-1, The Marvellous Tis Marvellous. 15-2, Ebro River. 9, Corker. 10, Acclam Express and Ainsdale. And 11-1, bar those. What do you make of this one, David Jennings?
I like Ainsdale for Julie Camacho, whose team have actually been in terrific form of late. I think five of our last 20 runners have won, and they're all running really well. Like, and they're not favourites either. They're running really well. I think Ainsdale has been crying out for some cut in the ground. He's been running on ground that he hasn't been particularly in love with. I thought last time in the Beverly Bullet at Beverly, incidentally, I thought he travelled really strongly, but he was on the rail and he was away from the action. And Barry McHugh, I'd say, knew he was never really getting there. And he didn't have an overly hard race, Ainsdale. And I think if he was towards the middle of the track rather than on the rail, he would have finished a lot closer than he did. He was beaten 2 1/4 lengths, but he was drawn in stall one. So his hand was kind of forced. I think that he's coming into form at the right time of year. He's got really strong form with cutting the ground. The more it rains, the better his chance is going to get. And he's one of these that I could see that price plummeting. If you're getting around 10-1, could see him going off about 13-2. I think he's got a massive chance, Ainsdale.
I mean, it does look like a lot of rain is going to hit us today. So if you do want to jump the gun, get stuck into the mudlarks before the rain falls and the prices fall accordingly. G-Rod, what's your view of the Rouse?
Yeah, I think DJ's spot on here. I think Ainsdale will win this. He's got two really good efforts at Ascot towards the end of last season. One, of course, was in the Bengoff Stakes on this card last year on soft ground when he was beaten only a length and three quarters by Vadrim. He then went on to run the Group 1 behind Creative Force on Champions Day, again on soft ground, ran a really good race there, really. He was only beaten five odd lengths. That was a proper Group 1, of course. Three runs since, all away from this track. He seems to save his best for Ascot. Again, like DJ said, on ground that was probably too quick last time out at Beverly. He was a big, big eye-catcher, coming home strongly, shaping like he was just about to peak. I'm sure that he's been trained for an autumn campaign. He's only had two runs this season, so Julie Camacho's kept him nice and fresh. And this looks an obvious race for him to win as long as the ground comes. I think that he's very good bet, Ainsdale.
Excellent. Interesting stuff. Do shop around for best prices and best place terms. Some firms are a fifth of three, and one firm, Skybet, a fifth, the five. The 225 at Ascot is next. It's the Peroni Nastro Azzurro Cumberland Lodge Stakes, Group 3, over 1 mile and four furlongs. Some very, very familiar and much-loved names in this. Hamish's favourite at 13-8, and then it's 4-1 High Definition for Aidan O'Brien coming over for this. 5-1 Cresta, 9-1 Get Shirty, 10 Third Realm, 14 Candleford, 16 Newcombe Glen, 16, what an insult. And it's 33 bar, and Graham Rodway is going to tell us why that 16-1 Newcombe Glen is such an insult, aren't you?
Well, I do like him, Bruce. I do like him. And I think he's got a chance. But the problem I think here is that he needs an absolute real end-to-end gallop, and I just don't see strong pace in this race. Okay. I think I think that he might end up out the back again. How many times we've seen it this season? Ewkin Glenn out the back and slowly run race. Then he rattles home to finish seventh or sixth. And you're like, oh, next time. And then he does the same. Hamish is a funny horse, of course, because he's by far the best horse in the race. But I think he had quite a hard race behind Kyprios. I mean, the pair came miles clear of the rest in the Irish St. Ledger last time out. And he also has a habit of getting beaten at short odds. Like, he's been beaten at 6-4, 4-7 twice. He's just the sort of horse. So to me, just don't take much racing. He's not a very reliable horse. And I just can't back him at that price. He's just too short a price, even though if he turns up on his current form, he'll obviously win. So the one that I fancy is Third Realm. This is a bit of a project for me. I've been backing him ever since he won at Goodwood by a mile in May. I just think he's a really good horse on soft ground. I backed him in a Group One next time out at St. Cloud. And he was beaten a mile. I mean, the ambulance almost beat him. Yeah, he just tailed off. He never went a yard. And then last time out, they ran him on the all-weather at Kempton. And he was well beaten behind Mosterdaff when, again, I was with him. But I just know on his day, he's a very good horse. I mean, let's not forget, he absolutely thrashed that opposition at Goodwood on soft ground. Last season, he beat Adeyar, didn't he, on soft ground at Lingfield. Don't come much deeper there. So as long as the rain comes, I think Third Realm could run really well. And not least the fact that there's not a lot of pace in this race, and he's usually quite prominent. So as long as Ross Orion can keep him up there in the first two or three, I just wonder if he might get first run on him. They might struggle to get him back, Third Realm, at a bigger price.
Okay, the two of you agreed on a 10-1 shot in the first race at Ascot. Is that going to happen again here, David?
Absolutely not. No, I don't fancy Third Realm at all. I think this is just blatantly obvious. Best horse in the race, best run last time, best on the ground. Hamish just wins, doesn't he?
I'm going to ask the questions. G-Rod says no,
The rhetorical question.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We'll move on now to the 3 o'clock at Ascot, the John Guest Racing Bengough Stakes over 6 furlongs. Group 3, 7-2 Fav Rohan, 11-2 Comanche Falls, 7 Owls Who Sail, 7 Flaming Rib, 12 Summer Gland. Go on, Sam. I've got to do the Ewkin Summer Gland each way double again here, haven't I? 14-1 Bar. David Jennings, not only is the racing really good this weekend, it's all competitive, isn't it? Blimey, you and G-Rod have really had to get your thinking caps on here.
Yeah, it's intriguing. And there's horses being pitched into races that you kind of don't expect them to, like Laurel obviously run the Sun Chariot. And another one here, and it really has intrigued me, Al Suhail could be very, very good over 6. He's never ran over 6, but every time he runs over 7, I kind of say to myself, God, he could make some sprinter. Now, he's had 16 starts, and as well as having the 16 starts, he's 5 years of age, and he's going to be 6 next year, and he's never ran over 6. So it's hard to believe that he is going to be a sprinter, and they've certainly taken their time in running him over a sprint trip. But even last time at Doncaster behind Kinross, like, there was a fleeting moment about a furlong and a half out where he looked like he had got away, and he was gobbled up by Kinross and New Energy. But he's a massive, powerful, imposing individual, that if he did get into a decent stride up front here and get into a prominent position and get into a nice rhythm and enjoy themselves, like, he could destroy these. He's just one of them horses that you just never really know what you're going to get with him. But he's 7-1 to win the sprint. And I think potentially he could be a Group 1 sprinter, which is a ridiculous thing to say about a horse who's 5 years of age. But I'm certainly going to chance him.
What do you think of that tip, G-Rod? You rubbished DJ's tip in the previous one. What do you think of Al Suhail here?
I don't think he's good enough. Okay. I can see the argument because he can be a bit free over 7 furlongs. You think, well, maybe over 6 he might be better. But surely Rohan will just absolutely destroy these, won't he?
The paper today.
Yeah, I mean, he's different class to this lot, isn't he? I mean, he's Group 1 horse, Rohan. Yeah, he's been running in Group 1s. He was beaten a length by Ifield Princess and Minzow in Deauville over 6.5. He was third in the Haydock Park Sprint Cup last time out, and again, a Group 1 on ground that would have been far too quick for him. I mean, good to firm ground. This is not Rohan's bag. He's a soft ground horse. He's one on heavy ground. He absolutely loves it, testing. The rain's going to really suit him. His record over course and distance is almost impeccable. He's only disappointed once, and that was last year behind Creighton Falls in the Champions Sprint. He's won 3 out of 4, 2 Wokinghams, 1 off top weight. He's won a Group 3 at the course on ground that was too quick. I just can't see any way he gets beat. He's an absolute cracking bet. I'm making about 7-4 favourite, Rohan, and he's about 7-2.
Goodness me.
Oh,
That was good, that. I loved that. Right then, finally at Ascot, 3:36, the Peroni Nastro Azzurro Challenge Cup. It's a heritage handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got 18 runners. And as you'd expect, wide open, fresh, 6-1 favourite. Safe Voyage, 15-2, as is symbolised. River Nymph is, is 8s. Blue Few, 10s. And it's 12-1 bar. And we're sticking with Graham Rodway here. Who are you going to go for?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? I mean, you get these races at Ascot, don't you, every year? You know, like the Victoria Cup, the Hunt Cup, the International. You know, they're just one after the other. And all the same horses turn up and run against each other. And they each take their turn in winning.
You're right, actually. It is weird, that, isn't it? Yeah. It's like no one else stages big, valuable 7-furlong sprint straight handicaps. It's very peculiar, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, Fresh and a Symbolise and River Nymph, and yeah, they've all turned up in a lot of those this year. And I think Fresh might have had his turns. You know, he's won 2 in a row. I mean, he's got to let someone else have a go now. So I think that Symbolise can win this. He really likes soft ground. He was second in this race last year behind Aldari. And then he went on to fill the same two places in the Balmoral handicap on Champions Day just a couple of weeks later. Now, Symbolise has run only once at Ascot since, but that was on really quick ground. He doesn't like quick ground. All of his best forms on soft ground, which he's going to get, you would have thought, on Saturday. And I didn't think he ran too badly at Doncaster last time on his favoured soft surface. Again, he's another one, isn't he? Like, there's a lot of these coming out now who will have been trained with a sort of back-end campaign in mind. I'm sure that Andrew Baldwin would have had this race in mind, thinking, well, it's going to be October. We get our soft ground. We're second in that race last year. He's running off the same mark. The form's obviously good because they both went on to finish first and second in the Balmoral next time. I just think it's his turn.
Okay. It's your turn now, DJ.
Yeah, plagiarism here, Bruce. I'm all over Symbolise. There's 15-2 available. Like, this goes off about 7-2, I'd say. I think with Symbolise, I think what you've got here is a horse who blatantly doesn't stay a mile. And even last time at Doncaster, David Probert was at pains to try and get him home. And he travelled really well, and he just didn't get home. He ran... As Roder said, he ran a cracker in the race last year off a mark of 102. The same mark he runs off here and bumped into a spectacularly well-handicapped horse. And he's been trained with the second half of the season in mind. And the draw interests me as well. He's drawn in stall 18. Kinran won it in 2019 out of 17. Raising Sand won it in 2018 out of 17. Le Breeze of Breeze won it in 2016 out of 16. So 3 of the last 5 years have been won by 16, 17 and 17. So I think that the draw is going to be fine. And yeah, I just echo everything Graham said. I think this could be one of the plunge horses on Saturday.
Splendid stuff. Right then, finally on ITV4 on Saturday, we go up to Redcar for the 3:21, the William Hill 2-year-old trophy over 6 furlongs. It's a listed race, 17 runners, 85 grand to the winner, wide open, Cold Case 4-1 favourite, Barefoot Angel 5-1, Mail and Sea 13-2, and it's 9-1 bar. David Jennings, what's your view of this contest?
I don't have a really strong opinion on it, Bruce. I just thought that Barefoot Angel was quite impressive last time there and might be a bit of value against Cold Case, but not a betting race for me.
Okay, is it a betting race for you, Graham?
No, it's not. I thought Cold Case would probably win, but there's an awful lot of pace in the race and Carl Burke's runners tend to just bowl along from the front. That's what Cold Case does. I just think he might get taken on up front and that just put me off him. I think he's the most likely winner, but I'm not backing him.
OK, fair enough. Let's switch our attention now quickly to Longchamp because, like I say, it's day one of the 2-day ARC meeting. And the highlight is, as always, the Qatar Prix de Cadran Group 1 over 2.5 miles. And Kyprios is 4-5 favourites, 130 Quickthorn, 6-1 Tashkan and 20 bar. 12 runners here. It's going to be very soft at Longchamp. DJ, were you surprised that Kyprios is 4-5? That looked very backable to me.
I just had a conversation with somebody this morning saying, how is this horse not 2-5? That's obviously exaggerating, but I certainly think he's a 1-2 shot. And the thing is, he's probably better over this trip than he is over shorter. I did an interview with Aidan O'Brien that's in today's Racing Post. I hope you've both read it already. Thanks.
You managed to jam lots of David Jennings references into it, didn't you? Blimey.
I'll tell you why I did that, to try and put the reader in my shoes. That's why I tried
it. Yeah, no, it was very good, mate. I enjoyed it very much. You get a lot out of him, DJ, and it speaks volumes of of what a likeable chap you are. No, I enjoyed it very much. But anyway, go on. With regard to Kyprios, what did he say? Just lump on.
Yeah, he said lump on. He said, GSI, get stuck in. No, what he said about Kyprios that I thought was interesting, he said the horse is so deceptive. He said, that's so much class. He's got so much class that he'd have no problem running him in a mile and a half group ones, which I thought was interesting. So if you've got a horse who Aidan O'Brien thinks is enough class to run potentially in an arc and is probably best over the Gold Cup trip of 2.5 miles, who should handle this ground fine, he's going to be very hard to beat, Kyprios. I think that 4-5 is a bit of a steal, is it?
I thought so. Do you like the 4-5, G-Rod?
No, I couldn't disagree more. I think that he's going to lose this race, Kyprios.
Who's going to win?
I don't know how good he is. That's the problem with Kyprios. When you've got a horse like him, who's just got a bunch of ones by their name, and he just looks like, when he wins, he always looks like he might have a little bit more left in the tank. But I think he's going to face his stiffest ever competition here. What's he going on about?
I'm just saying, all the things you've said there, trying to knock Kyprios, are positive things.
Yeah, he's got a load of ones in his name. He might be better than he's shown. Yeah, I can't have him at all. I mean, it doesn't really make sense to you. Can you flesh this argument out a bit, please?
But the point is, though, he's not really been, like, given a proper test, has he? Like, there's not really a horse out there that's gone and said, right, Kyprios, I'm going to really stick it up to you.
Are you joking? Hold on a second here. You're taking the piss, aren't you?
No, I mean, tell me a race where someone actually really went and stuck it up to you.
He's just after saying, okay, I'm just worried that I'm hearing things. He's just after saying, show me a race where it's been put up to Kyprios, okay?
Yeah.
So he won the Gold Cup at Ascot by a half a length from Mojo Star and Stradivarius with everything at him up the straight. A good one in the Goodwood Cup. Trushan kicked on under Holly Doyle. You've got Trushan, who is the highest ranked player in England, and Stradivarius were either side of him absolutely hammer and tongs. And then last time, Hamish comes up his backside and basically challenges him all the way to the line. What you're saying here makes no sense, Graham.
Right, the Gold Cup, right, the best ride won the race, not the best horse for a start, right? That was a very slowly run race with a sprint up the straight. Ryan Moore dictated the race to a certain extent. I don't really think he was given a real challenge that day. Then what we're talking about, the Goodwood Cup. Well, Trushan must have run about 8-9 pound below his best form on ground that was probably too quick for him. Stradivarius is our old 9, 8, 9, yeah, well past his best. And then last time out, I've just said about Hamish, you know, he's a funny old horse, Hamish. You know, he's never been an absolute top notcher. And again, you know, Hamish has got fairly close to him, hasn't he? This Quickform, Kyprios ain't seen anything like this before. He ain't come up against anything as good as Quickform before. And this horse will go out and put it right up to him and all. Because Tom Marcand will send him out there in front. He'll go a bonkers pace. And Kyprios had never been so fast in his whole life. I mean, they also win slowly run races over two miles. It's speed that wins his races. Quickform's going to go out there and make this an absolute war of attrition on really testing ground, which he loves, Quickform. And I don't think Kyprios is going to get anywhere near him. I think Quickform will break him from about 4 furlongs out, and he'll be paddling along old Kyprios. He'll be paddling up that straight as Quickform powers home in front. Oh, I can't wait for this race now, DJ.
God, blimey, this is brilliant stuff, G-Rod. There, I love that. Excellent. Wow. Well, I'd say Cadran's virtually the race of the weekend after that. Certainly put me in the mood for it. Right then, before we look ahead to Longchamp on Sunday, I want to know, boys, what your naps are. But first of all, it's a very long show, so I only want other horses away from the TV action if you really fancy them. DJ, what have you got?
We've got jumping action at Cork. I don't even know how to come out of that argument that Graham has made there. But anyway, you've got jumping action at Goran Park on Saturday in the 3:27. Sam Ewing had a treble at Clonmel on Thursday, and I think he can continue that hot streak because I thought Noble Burt was coming into a nice bit of form and travelled well last time. The 4:02 is the PWC Champion Chase. Willie Mullins.
We're not going through the card here. You're not doing one of your brown envelope jobs in the private box here, DJ. I've said time is of the essence. You've only horses you really fancy. So come on.
Okay. 4:02, Goran Park. Franco de Port, number 4. The 5:12, Goran Park, number 1, Ain't That a Shame. And in the 5:42 at Goran Park, number 2, True Faith.
Brilliant. I'll have a Yankee. G-Rod, have you got anything else?
I really fancy one at Newmarket in the 4:27 called Swoon. So Michael Stout trains very lightly raced filly. Ran a cracker at the course last year when I think she beat State Occasion and Acolois, who finished third and fourth, and they're both very good horses. She was behind Via Sestina. She's just had a couple of runs this year on good to firm ground, but her dam absolutely loved it, testing Marine Blur. So I think that Swoon's going to really relish any rain that comes, and I think that she's open to loads of improvement. 4:27 at Newmarket, Swoon.
You'll be looking to Swoon if Quickthorn wins the Cadre, won't you? Right, let's get the Saturday naps. Start with Graham Rodway.
Mine is Rohan in the 3 o'clock at Ascot.
What's yours, DJ?
Oh, Bruce, I'm sorry about this, but mine is Sunday. I have one horse that
That's right. Okay, well, we'll wait for Sunday, but we only have to wait 10 seconds.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the final part of the podcast. It's the Racing Post's weekend preview show with Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Graham Rodway. And it is time to preview my favourite flat race of the entire year. It takes place at 3:05 at Longchamp on Sunday. It's the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Absolutely always a fantastic race. Obviously, we don't have Baid, which is a problem. Not a problem, but it's a disappointment. But what it does mean is that we've got a very, very open, competitive race. 20 runners. Some very big names that didn't make it. It's just 20 runs for safety reasons. £2,400 to the winner. Luxembourg, favourite for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore at 7-2. And then it's 11-2 Alpinista, 15-2 Toccato Tasso, 8 Verdani, 9 title holder, 10 Westover, 14 Onesto and 25 Bar. I will just bring you up to date because I've never seen 6 places in an arc, but Skybet are going 6. Most other firms are 5. So plenty of each way opportunities. Can't wait to hear what the boys fancy. So I won't wait. What do you fancy, Graham Rodway?
Yeah, I think it's a really good race as always, Bruce. Fantastic race, isn't it?
Is it? I mean, it's always a fantastic race, but in the context of an arc, if, I don't know, the strongest one you've ever seen is 10 and the weakest one is 0, what's this?
I think this is a 7.
Oh, really?
2.
I think it's about
2.
I'd be nearer David than G-Rod, but I think 7 is quite kind. I don't know.
There's no Baid, there's no Desert Crown, there's no Adyar. It's not a very good race.
But you're talking about like outstanding horses there, aren't you, Baid? I mean, there wouldn't usually be a Baid hanging around, would there?
It's the arc, G-Rod.
Yeah, but I mean, Baid. Anyway.
Anyway, go on.
Should we get on with it?
Yeah. That's a first, isn't it? G-Rod telling me to get on with it.
I'm absolutely convinced that the three-year-olds are better than the older horses for a start. I mean, there's this weird school of thought that last year's arc was an absolutely outstanding running. By the way, what rank would you give last year's arc?
5.
Yeah, I don't think it was a very good race. I mean, I know that Tanawa was second, but I mean, that got absolutely fresh next time out in the Breeders' Cup. Hurricane Lane was third. He hasn't won a race since. Adyar's only been seen once in a really poor race. Celia Way's been beaten a million times since. Snowfall was beaten at Ascon next time. They were the second, third, fourth and fifth and sixth. So it wasn't even a great time. I can't have Toccato Tasso. I know that the ground's come right for him, but he ain't good enough, surely. But he's been beaten three times out of 4 since. I mean, unless it's an absolute bog, because he is the best swimmer in the race, which it could be. But apart from that, his form ain't good enough, surely, to Toccato Tasso. He got fresh by Pile Driver and all. Alpinista, I think, is the biggest danger to the 2 3-year-olds that I think are head and shoulders above the rest. One is Luxembourg and the other one is Onesto. And they finished first and second in the Irish Champion Stakes last time out. I'm absolutely convinced that Onesto can reverse the places with Luxembourg because I don't think Onesto is very well suited by a mile and a quarter. When he ran in the Prix du Jockey Club over a mile and a quarter. He was right out the back and he finished like an express train. Like, his sectionals were far quicker than anything else over the last three furlongs. He stayed on really strongly. I remember thinking to myself that day when he was fifth in the Prix du Jockey Club that he was the best horse in that race, even though he got beaten seven lengths by Vedeni. Just nothing went right for him. And I thought, well, when this horse gets over a mile and a half, he's going to be very, very good. He's only run once over a mile and a half since. That was in the Grand Prix de Paris over course and distance. I mean, he posted a really good time that day. He beat Sim Camille, who came out and won the Prix Niel next time. Elder Elderoff was fourth, who won the St. Ledger. So the form is absolutely rock solid. And I thought last time out at Leopardstown, he just got done for pace by Luxembourg, who, of course, was quick enough to finish third in a 2,000 guineas over a mile. And I don't think he was ideally suited by the mile and a quarter trip. I think you're going to see a much, much better horse over a mile and a half here, Onesto. And I can't believe that he's four times the price of Luxembourg. So I'm all over Onesto each way, Bruce.
Interesting tip there, Giro. Thank you very much indeed. David Jennings, what do you like in the arc?
No, I'm far more boring than Giroud. I don't think it's a very good arc. And I think Luxembourg is a very good colt. That's the way I sum it up. Rodders thinks Onesto will improve for a mile and a half. I think Luxembourg will too. He's never ran over it, but everything about him suggests he's going to be better over a mile and a half than a mile two. I love the way he relaxes in his races. He doesn't do too much too soon. He will be fine on the ground, given it was pretty much bottomless when he won the Virgin Futurity, and there was plenty of cut on the ground when he won the Champion Stakes as well. It's obviously was a big rush to get him to the Champion Stakes. He ran in the Royal Whip, he missed the Derby, missed the Irish Derby. And I just think the way it's been since Leopardstown has been very smooth. So you can expect plenty of improvement from Leopardstown, where he posted a Racing Post rating of 124. If he repeats that here, it'll likely be good enough. He's the perfect draw in stall eight. He's just the one horse in the race. We don't know how good he is yet, I think. I think when you look through the rest of them, you kind of know what you're going to get from the likes of Alpinista, who's, you know, really smart. But is she good enough to win an arc? I'm not so sure. Graham makes a pretty good case, I have to say. He made an absolutely terrible case about Kyprios. But I thought his case for Onesto was really, really good and really strong. And he's made me think twice about Onesto, I have to say. So that's an achievement in itself, Rodders. But I think Luxembourg deserves to be favoured. I think around 4-1 at 7-2, there's still a little bit of juice in that price. I think he probably should be a 5-2 shot.
Really? 5-2? Yeah. Oh, you wouldn't mind take that, would you? Mm. Oh, that would be skinny.
I think it would be a massive price, Bruce. I wouldn't be surprised if Mostadaf ran well at 52.
I was just going to ask you, actually, here, because, I mean, you know, I think anyone looking at this race kind of wouldn't be, you know, you'd want to include the entire field in your calculations. We've seen some big prices in the past. So go on, who's your long shot?
I just thought Mostadaf, we saw something different from him last time at Kempton. When he turned into the home straight, what he did from kind of the turn into the home straight to the furlong pole, I thought was seriously impressive. I know Dubai Honor didn't get a good ride by Tom Marcan, but I just thought we saw something different from him. Like, he got an RPR of 122, which is quite high for that. And he's drawn it in stall 16, which is not ideal, but just he's 50-1. If you're getting sixth place, I could see Mostadaf running well. I have no idea what to expect from title holder. I could see Westover and Onesto, as Graham said, running well, but I think Luxembourg is the best horse in the race.
G-Rod, if you were, I mean, you've gone for a fairly big price at 14-1. If you were going to add a rag, which would it be?
The one I would add, a big price, who I think could run well, is Mare Australis, who's ridden by Mozebayev. and he's an up and coming jockey. I mean, I think he came over for the Shobar Cup.
Who?
Mazurbayev. And I think that's how you say it. And,
oh yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
that's what his mother calls him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's his nickname. Go on.
I just think that Andre Farb, he had one that I was quite interested in earlier in the week in a big price called True Testament. And it didn't make the cut because it wasn't quite rated highly enough. But he obviously is famed for his sort of quiet approach, isn't he, to this race. And he's brought this Mare Australis along quite quietly. I mean, he's been off since he was well beaten by Openista, but he's got really good form in testing ground. Like, he's been behind Skeletti a couple of times, beat Bubble Gift, who's a very good horse on soft ground. I just think that I could see that horse running a big race at a big old price with Burzons and Mazurbayev on it.
All right, brilliant. So I'm going to now push you for 1, 2, 3 in the arc. I just want the horses' names. David Jennings.
One Luxembourg, two Westover, three Mostadap.
Graham Rodway.
Hold on, Westover, where's that come from? I can't have Westover. I think Ernesto will beat Luxembourg and Mir Astralis will finish third.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Sumion rides the fourth favourite, Verdani, but I've just seen video as we're talking about a horrendous incident where he's basically looks like he's elbowed Ross Ryan off the horse, and Ross has taken a horrendous tumble. What do you think, DJ? That looks awful, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anything like that in my life. He'll be doing well to ride in the Arc.
That's truly shocking. If you'll find it on Twitter, folks, it's really nasty incident that. There's going to be a lot spoken about that for sure. Main thought is hopefully Ross Ryan is okay, but
he's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Also, he must be made of rubber because I mean, if you or I fell off, say we were out riding a horse, I don't know, just pony trekking or something, and we fell off the horse and did that. We would be showing that video to strangers in a pub 20 years later, going, look at that, look what happened to me, wouldn't you? How do they just bounce back from that?
Actually, they're not humans at all. They're different.
Oh, they certainly are. Anyway, back to Longchamps on Sunday, and the undercard absolutely peppered, as always, with fantastic Group 1 action. So I'm just going to open the floor to the pair of you and tell us any other horses you feel that listeners should be backing at Longchamps on Sunday. We don't need every single race, just the pick of your fancies. David Jennings.
Okay, in the 350, the Prix de l'Opera, I think Above the Curve is a really smart filly, and I know she takes on Nashua, but I just love the way she's being campaigned with the second half of the season in mind. And I thought her victory on Irish Champions weekend got a bit lost because it wasn't a Group 1, but I thought she beat Le Petit Coco well, and I thought it was a really good performance. So I think Above the Curve will win the 350 at Longchamps. You can make a case for Plenty at big prices in the 425, the Prix de l'Abbé. Look, I'm a sucker for this horse, but I do think there is a big race in him someday. And especially with the ground the way it is, I think Castle Star run well for Fozzie Stack and Jamie Spencer. Didn't get the run of the race in the Flying Five at all. Will be an absolute mad price on the Paris Mutuel. Will be a massive price in the bookies as well. You could get 33s maybe, but I thought Castle Star could run well. And my backer of the whole weekend is also running on the card. Bruce, do you want me to reveal now?
Yes, please.
Bruce, I can't even contemplate defeat for Tenebrism in the Prix de la Forêt. 5 o'clock at Longchamps on Sunday. It's the final race on Arc weekend. And you think of all the races we've discussed over the last half an hour or so. And I'm waiting until the 5 o'clock at Longchamps, Tenebrism. I love the Forêt because I think it's for real 7 furlong specialists. Like, Space Blues won it last year. One Master won it 3 years in a row. It's for...
Kinross wins it this year.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Kinross is your proper 7 furlong specialist as well, Kinross. But Kinross has to give £6 to Tenebrism. And I think Tenebrism is a proper Group 1 filly over 7 furlongs. She's only ran over 7 furlongs once in her whole career. And that was when she won the Prix Jean Prat. And she was seriously impressive that day at Deauville, where she absolutely battered Life Infantry, Lusail, Modern Games as well, beaten that day as well. Then she went to Deauville, she came back to Deauville to run the Prix Rothschild. If that was over 7 furlongs that day rather than a mile, it would have been very, very interesting because she got right up the backside of Saffron Beach and then I don't think she sees out a mile. It was the same last time in the Matron. To me, she is just your absolute 7 furlong specialist. She's got a serious turn of foot. It's a serious weapon over 7. I think she's got a smarter turn of foot than Kinross. The ground will be fine. She's won on deep ground before. She's drawn and stalled once, so she's going to get plenty of cover. And it's one of these where I can see Ryan absolutely burying her in mid-division, just gradually coming out. And by the time they pass the first winning post, she'll be just getting there. And she's just going to storm by and win. Tenebrism was 5-1 yesterday. I think she's 4-1 now. That's a steal.
Brilliant. Well done, DJ. Fantastic work. G-Rod, what else do you like in Paris on Sunday?
Yeah, and got a very good draw as well, Tenebrism. Still won. That's a big thing in this race, isn't it? I mean, I thought Kinross was really the better of the weekend, but he's gone and pulled out stall 9. It's not a great draw in the Forêt course, that's for sure. It's a bit of a story on the card for me because I had a bunch of horses that I really fancied.
Graham, just on the draw, Lamato won the Forêt at stall 1 and Acclaim won it the following year at stall 1. So in the last 6 years, twice it has been won at stall 1 and Make Believe was stall 2 in 2015 as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a good draw, stall 1. Yeah. Kinross is an horrible draw, isn't it, in stall 9.
Sorry.
You're not listening, is he? it's the story of the card, really. It's like, I really thought a case of you or Burnoy had huge chances in the 425, and I was going to back whichever one got the best draw. And I think they've got stalls 18 and 19 each. I couldn't believe it when I looked up. So I can't be backing either of those. You just usually have to be low in that race. I think the Abbe, which is the 425, Mitt Bahi could run well there. I quite like that one. And now... I obviously a huge fan of Nashua. I feel kind of vindicated, although of course she didn't win the Oaks. I will argue quite comfortably that she is the best horse who ran in the Oaks. She's certainly come out and won two Group 1 since. I just don't think she stayed the Oaks trip, and she's well suited by this sort of test. I just wonder though if she might have her stamina tested here again. And there's one I quite like at a big price in the Prix de l'Opera, the 350. It's called Rossa Kaya, who finished third behind Nashua in the Prix de Diane, but it was massively eye-catching run. If you can go back and watch it, or even get the sectionals up on the France Gallo, you know, it did everything wrong, Rossa Sayer, that day. It was a bad start in the back pair, stayed on really, really strongly. I think like deep ground and a real test of stamina will really suit Rossa Sayer in this race. And she's only run once since. So I think that, I don't know his name, S. Wattel. It sounds like Mattel, you know, the toy maker. But I don't know his name. But I assume that S. Wattel has lined her up for this race. Rossa Sayer in the 350 at Longchamp each way against Nashua and above the curve.
25-1, you can get Rossa Sayer. Okay, gents, that is it. It was a marathon show. Thank you so much for your input. Really great stuff. Very interesting. And I hope you both have a good weekend with all your bets. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to producer Sam. We're back next Friday for another postcast. Should be a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the racing, and hopefully you can join us next Friday.